Thank you. It's nice to be here. 10 minutes, I'll solve the problems of the world. A student would wish I would do all my lectures in 10 minutes. So anyway, I think it's nice to be here. I think there's a lesson from the Quakers. I'm doing some work on the Ungerturner, the Great Irish Famine, where the Quakers pulled out of relief on the basis that it was doing no good. And I think there's a lesson there about charities seeing propping up the state and getting to a stage where propping up the state is not appropriate anymore. And I think that's in the message with food banks, but anyway, that's off the cuff. I think there's been a big change since 2007. The global financial crisis and the oil crisis has led to huge changes in the food landscape, both in food supply and also how customers behave and clients behave. You see that every day. If you look at the front of today's free paper this morning, Tesco have offers splattered all over it. All the supermarkets now into a price war. They're now all discounters. We should stop talking about Aldi and Lidl as discounters. All the supermarkets are now discounters. Coinciding with Tesco's price war, they're shutting down 49 stores. What's the implications of that? The change from about 2000, from the 1990s, we talked about food poverty and food deserts. We don't talk about food deserts anymore in the same way. We talk about food access. And we talk about how people have problems accessing food. And that may be physical, it may be the distance, it may be we've done work where mothers with prams, it's impossible to shop in small stores because they can't get their prams around the stores. So there are micro and macro issues for that. But the big drive, the structural drive, is cost. Despite the price wars, we're now back to the same equivalent as 1997 in food prices. That's where we're back to. Food prices are stabilising this year, despite the food wars, the price wars. We're not seeing an overall reduction in food baskets. I mean, these are loss leaders, don't forget. So the price wars are not about overall people's spend on food going down. It's individual items are going down. The poor are spending 25% of their income on food. They would have to spend about 30 to 35% to afford a healthy diet. That's the reality. People like us are still probably only spending 11, 12%. We haven't really noticed this. I mean, there's a disproportionate hit for the poor. That's what's happening. Food prices have been up roughly 30% since 2007 due to the financial crisis. Other things, of course, have gone up. Even if food prices are stabilising at the moment, other prices are increasing. So fixed costs, rents, you know, insurance, travel costs, all of those are still the same or indeed increasing. So people are doing what Liz Dowler, and this is coming later, calls food is the elastic item in the budget. People are squeezing on food to spend on other areas, and they can do it. They can do that, but often with health consequences. That's the problem. Now, you can criticise that. I would say this is good domestic management. We're doing some work in Liverpool at the moment. We've got pictures of people's store cupboards. These are people who've been through a training course. They've been through a cooking course. And their cupboards are full of pot noodles. And you say, why? Because pot noodles stores. It keeps till the end of the night. And they say, I can't afford fruit and veg because the kids will eat it all at once. It's not affordable in terms of domestic economy and planning. That's one of the problems. You see that in the supermarkets. The supermarkets have completely changed their offers. It used to be most of us done one big shop. Now people are spreading their shop throughout the month. So this, the offers are now spread more towards the end of the month when people are scrambling around for those last couple of pence. For us, people like us, there's a new austerity. People have bought into an austerity lifestyle. I don't have a problem with that. That's about sustainability. So people have shifted their shopping patterns to follow that austere lifestyle. And that's a lifestyle choice. The poor don't have that choice. The irony is that 10 years ago, the poor ate food from many lands, albeit processed. Sorry, the rich ate food from many lands. Now the poor are eating rich from many lands, but it's mainly processed food. So there's been a complete switch around, whereas 10, 15 years ago, the poor were eating locally. Now the rich are eating locally because that's become a lifestyle issue. And we can afford it. If you look at restaurants in London, you know, sourcing within 25 miles of London, the poor can't afford to go there. You have to have income, you have to have resources to do that. Okay, so if I can talk a little bit about public health. I think there's a move of public health back into local authorities, which you could say is good. We're back to essentially to 1974, when public health manage services within local authorities. And in the next year, we're going to see a number of services, such as health visitors and district nurses and school nurses, moving back into local authorities. So potentially the opportunity for public health to look more structurally at health within areas exists. However, from next year, ring fencing of public health monies ends. So public health will have to compete with housing, with schooling, with all the other areas from the end of next year. But potentially, public health within local authorities could begin to look at structural issues. It could begin to look at problems before they start, like using planning as one of the key issues. You could use planning to look at things like fast food outlets, store food outlet openings, and plan proactively rather than reacting. One of the problems with public health at the moment, in my terms, is that the reaction to a lot of the health problems are what I call a toolkit response. They're tackling the problem as it exists through education rather than any structural change. So you see that in London. London's issued a new toolkit for fast food outlets. It's not about regulation. It's not about planning. It's about working with fast food outlets. Now, on one hand, sense, I don't have a problem with that, but it's not looking at anything structural or planning. So I think there's a big issue there for us. There's a big issue about regulation. The government has clearly said a new regulation is deregulation. I sat with the Minister for Food about 2 weeks ago at a conference, and he just refused to accept there was any role for regulation. Sugary drinks, myself and Rosie Bycott were there saying, you know, let's have a sugar tax. That's one area we could absolutely no way. So we have a problem with regulation at a central level. I think what is happening is we will see regulation at a local level. So we will see some of the cities introducing new regulations. Much like happened with smoking, or potentially happened with smoking, where the move on smoking is because Liverpool threatened to go smoke-free and the government had to follow. I think we're going to see some cities introducing local regulation. The problem for me is without centralisation, that means we're reinventing the wheel. We're duplicating effort a lot of the time. My analogy is I think people should build their own wheel. What works in Kensington will not work in Salford, will not work in Glasgow, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a lack of central direction on regulation. The new localism devolves planning down to local authorities. So they can, the benefit of that is they can consult with local people and they can devise local regulations around things like fast food outlets. But there is a duplication of effort. I'm now working with about 10 local authorities helping them devise local strategies. But this should be a central issue, not replication of the issue again and again, in my opinion. I think food banks are not any answer to anything. I think, you know, the report just came out before Christmas, the all-parliamentary report. I think we need a minority report, like the 1911 Social Insurance Act response to it. I mean, the danger is they're depoliticising hunger. That's what they're doing. And the state are pulling back, and I can see my local authorities are pulling back because they can save money. Every person you refer to a food bank means more money in the local authority coffers in the social fund because they don't have to spend it on food, on other services. And that's a hard reality for local authorities. They're hit on all sides. I think what's happened with community projects have been hit in the last 3 years. We saw a huge round of community projects in the mid, from about 2003 to 2008. Most of that funding's ended. Because of this squeeze in funding, we're not seeing community projects, which might offer an alternative to food banks being supported. I think that's all I'm on. I can send in hard copy evidence afterwards. Most of that would be done on this.